Let's move now to New Year's resolutions. We may groan about them. We may proclaim we are above making them. But it somehow seems the new year does bring a longing for a fresh start, to make positive changes. Look no further than the crammed parking lots at gyms and fitness clubs in January, or the fresh burst of signups at weight loss classes. So how do you keep that burst of good intentions you feel at the start of the new year and keep it going strong as the year goes on? Is it possible to turn a good intention into a lifelong good habit? University of Michigan psychologist Michelle Seeger joins us now in the studio. She's a motivation scientist, and she's the associate director of the university's Sport, Health, and Activity Research and Policy Center for Women and Girls. So, Michelle, it's not just me who has a really hard time sticking with those resolutions that we all make at the beginning of the year?
You know, most people you meet in the street will say the very same thing. How do you stick with New Year's resolutions? Everyone has great intentions. The problem is that we haven't been taught to convert our intentions into a sustainable behavior that we can stick with for the rest of our lives.
And that's the kind of work you're doing at the University of Michigan and the kind of research you're doing. So what are you finding? What is it that's not clicking that sounds so good in January and by June we're not at the health club?
So the problem is, if we start to exercise, for example, as a way to lose weight or benefit our health, we're not likely to stick with it. We haven't been taught to consider a behavior like exercise as a way to enhance our day immediately, now. And yet we know that physical activity, moving our bodies, does amazing things, like increases our energy and lifts our mood. We also know from research that immediate rewards, such as a lifted mood, for example, are more motivating than a reward we have to wait to achieve, like losing 50 pounds mm-hmm. or preventing cancer one day. When we do something like exercise for the immediate benefit to help us feel better now, we are so much more likely to stick with it. And that helps us lead happier and healthier lives.
If we start the year off and we start the workouts and we get on the treadmill or whatever it is we've determined we want to do, are we overlooking it?
That's exactly right. Oh. And that's a key point. Because we are so focused on achieving something specific, like potentially a change in blood pressure or changing those bad numbers on a scale, that is what our attention is focused on. Your question actually takes us to an interesting line of research that's not necessarily in the health field, but it's been consistent for 30 years. And that shows that when people set achievement goals, when they try to hit a target, if you will, instead of learn something, they are less successful. So when it comes to New Year's resolutions, what we want to do is we want to start thinking about how we can learn the behaviors, how to fit them into our lives instead of achieving a specific bullseye.
So instead of saying, I want to lose 50 pounds by my son's wedding in the fall, what should I be saying?
You should be saying, well, it's not that that's a bad goal
right.
to have, but if you want to sustain those 50 mm-hmm. pounds, then what you need to be saying is, I need to learn how to be successful for the rest of my life with the behaviors that are going to lead to those 50 pounds. I need to think about, how can I integrate physical activity into my life in a way that I can sustain? How can I change my dietary habits in ways that it's not going to be hit or miss, but that I'm going to feel motivated to stick with? We need to shift our framework for thinking about the goal to thinking about the acts.
The how?
The how, yes, the how.
Mm. When you're saying we need to learn these things, how? In what way?
Well, there are a few key things that people can learn that can change their likelihood of being successful. And one thing that we're learning with newer science relates to motivation and emotion and affect, and that is that how we feel about a behavior, for example, determines the quality of motivation we have. So if we're exercising to lose weight and we're going to the gym and we're getting on the Stairmaster and we're thinking, I've got to burn those calories, that's likely to create a negative feeling toward mm-hmm. exercising. And guess what? Who's got time to fit in something that they're actually going to feel bad about? So one of the reframes and the new things we have to learn is that how we feel about the behavior influences us unconsciously. So what we want to do is we want to pick behaviors, if we're talking about exercise, pick physical activities that feel good to do. We've got to throw out the one-size-fits-all prescriptions, believe it or not. Those don't help people stick with it. And what we need to be focused on is, again, it's not about doing something. It's about sticking with it long term.
So it sounds like the health and the diet and fitness industry aren't marketing this to us the right way.
That, you hit the nail on the head. That's exactly right.
What messages are there? Are the ones that we need to maybe tune out?
Well, we've basically been taught to think about these behaviors, healthy eating, sleep, stress reduction, exercise, in very medicalized way. We are prescribed these things as medication, a bitter pill to take. Again, we're too busy. Our lives are too hectic to do things that make us feel bad and that don't enhance our lives. The irony is that all of the behaviors that lead us to be healthy also help us feel happier and be more energized and really realize our full potential. So the shift in marketing that needs to happen is we have to go from a medicalized approach, the bitter pill approach for behavior, and talk about how it can help us thrive in our daily lives.
You hear research that says, handed down from somewhere on high,
yes,
an hour a day of exercise is what a woman needs to be able to not even lose weight, but to keep from gaining more. And you think, where in the world am I going to find that?
It's a problem. And we need to understand how to help people integrate small pieces in ways that they can, A, feel good from, and B, learn to sustain.
We're talking with University of Michigan psychologist Michelle Seeger. She is a motivation scientist. So we are exploring ways to take what many of us call those New Year's resolutions, if that's the label you put on them, but to take these good impulses and turn them into sustainable habits. Let's talk a little about other bad habits, let's say smoking. What does it take to successfully quit and make that a lifelong habit?
Well, you know, what it takes for one person to quit is going to be different than another. With smoking, there's an addictive component. Some people find that using patches that help them wean themselves, they'll be more likely to be successful. A strategy that can be used in smoking cessation, as well as really any behavior, is called if-then planning. Another term is implementation intentions. And this is a key to being successful, and we haven't been taught to do this.
So what would that mean?
It means that you strategize about your life. If something's important to you, like stopping to smoke or exercising more, the trick is you have to do that in your daily life. So you need to strategize, well, how am I going to be successful in my daily life? Well, what's likely to get in my way? This is where the bridge comes. You predetermine and you learn from experience what's going to get in my way, and then you pre-plan, well, if this happens or when this happens, then I'm going to do this. So you basically create a toolkit so it's already in your mind. And research shows that what that does is it doesn't just help us be strategic. It actually automates the behavior so that we have to use less of our mindful, effortful cognitive processes, which wear out during the day. And when we automate it, it makes it much more likely to happen because it goes into our unconscious.
So I'm going to give you a scenario and tell me how this would apply. I know I need to work out. When am I going to find the time? I have a 100-mile-a-day commute. So by the time I get home, we do dinner, I have homework for the next day, I'm tired. What do I do?
That's a great question. I would say to you that that's probably a question 95% of individuals might have. The first part of the solution is you have to have a why, a reason for trying to be more physically active that is truly compelling to you. We have got to get away from the abstract and often self-rejecting reasons such as, I have to lose those 50 pounds. I have to fit into those jeans. I want to be a healthier person. We have to move away from those reasons and turn to specific purposes for behavior that makes it truly compelling to fit in. So I would say to that person, mm-hmm. well, why do you want to be more physically active? What is it that you are trying to get out of fitting that into your day? The second part is finding physical activities that, if at the very least, are tolerable, if right. not, feel good. And most people I found, and this has been amazing to me over the years, that most people don't really understand that walking, and it doesn't even have to be at a fast pace, that walking really is valid physical movement. So I would tell that person who has this really long commute, uh-huh. where are the opportunities in your daily life, and I call these opportunities to move, where are the opportunities that you could claim and plan and strategize and make into social experiences? 5, 2 minutes, 15 minutes, build them in. And again, if we're taking a lifelong view of behavior, give yourself 3 to 12 months to learn how to fit this into your life in ways that you can sustain. And I would say, and this is another really important point, and don't try to change anything else at the same time. We've been taught to make multiple changes at the same time.
Yes.
So if you're trying to both, for example, exercise more and change your diet.
And maybe quit smoking.
And maybe quit smoking, you know, and be a more patient parent mm-hmm. and everything else. There simply isn't the energy in our minds to successfully do those. So pick the thing that is most compelling to you, that's most going to impact your daily life, and give yourself 9 months to learn how to do it. Mm. It's, you have to tailor this to who you are and what you want your daily life to be like. And then you have to be very strategic and say, if this is an important goal for me, then I'm going to care about protecting it. And pre-planning and previewing and being strategic and getting support from people who I know can help me be successful.
And the payoff?
The payoff is that you're much more likely to A, stay motivated to do it, and B, to make it a priority in your daily life.
Thoughts for starting out the new year? University of Michigan psychologist Michelle Seeger, thanks so much for sharing your insights with us, Michelle.
Thank you.